Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, November 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Bob Iger is back as CEO of Disney and shares soar on the news.
First, Donald Trump. Now Elon Musk invites Kanye West back on Twitter.
More signs of tensions easing between the U.S. and China.
And stocks drop on concern Beijing may tighten COVID restrictions.
New York Governor Hochul reacts to the deadly shooting at a gay bar in Colorado Springs. Plus, Buffalo begins digging out of a historic snowstorm. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A heartbreaking loss for the Jets. The Giants and Knicks both lost. A win for Kyrie Irving and the Nets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 20 points, Dow futures down 92, and NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change this morning. The yield 3.82%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.52%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 37 cents. It's $79.71 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $14.50 at $17.54.50 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with a major changing of the guard at Disney. A familiar face is returning to lead the company. We get the story from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Disney Sports says Bob Chapek is out and he's being replaced by his predecessor, Robert Iger. Iger will serve as CEO for 2 years. His mandate is to set the strategic direction for renewed growth and to work closely with the board in developing a successor to lead Disney at the completion of his term. The board did thank Chapek for his service, including navigating the company through the pandemic. Iger's position as chairman is unchanged. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. All shares at Disney up about 8.5% this morning. One other note on Disney, the Wall Street Journal is reporting activist investor Nelson Peltz is opposing the return of Iger as Disney CEO. The paper says Peltz's firm, Trian Fund Management, acquired a stake worth over $800 million in Disney this month.
Another big corporate story this morning, Karen, the continuing turmoil at Twitter. Sources say there may be more employee layoffs coming this week. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports it's causing some concern among legislators.
This talk, along with Donald Trump being reinstated, has Congressman Adam Schiff on ABC, as heard on Bloomberg, say the Twitter meltdown and Elon Musk need to be looked at.
It just underscores the erratic leadership of Twitter now under Musk, but also the security concerns with security people fleeing Twitter. And what that means for the protection of Americans' private data.
As Schiff saying that it goes against everything Musk has said about setting up monitoring committees. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. And a few days after reinstating former President Trump back on Twitter, Elon Musk has welcomed back Ye, the artist formerly known as Kanye West. Ye had been suspended from Twitter for 2 weeks because of an anti-Semitic tweet.
Turning the markets now, Karen, it is a shortened trading week because of Thanksgiving, and the week is kicking off with losses in Asia. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Annabelle Droolers in Hong Kong. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Trading sentiment in Asia on Monday, it really took a hit from what was happening in China. So essentially over the weekend, we saw the first COVID-related deaths there in months, and then that led to further concern that officials would start to back away from this possible easing of COVID zero restrictions. So as a result, we did see China shares selling off, and then that really hit sentiment across the board in Asia, including in markets like Korea, with the Korean won, for instance, slumping more than 1% against the dollar, with this retreat back into safe havens like the greenback and treasuries. In Hong Kong, I'm Annabelle Droolers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Annabelle, thank you. Well, on the geopolitical front, word this morning that the defense chiefs from the U.S. and China will likely meet for their first talks in months. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Beijing suspended dialogue with Washington over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan back in August. Talk of a meeting between Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and China Defense Minister Wei Fenghe is just the latest sign ties between the U.S. and China are starting to thaw. This after Chinese President Xi Jinping's recent meetings with President Biden and Vice President Harris, during which she emphasized more communication is needed. Biden officials have repeatedly called for guardrails to prevent tensions from getting out of hand. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Larry Summers is speaking out about U.S.-China relations now. The former U.S. Treasury Secretary is warning policymakers to focus on building America's own economic strengths in its contest with China rather than attacking its adversary.
We in the United States probably need to be careful about our evangelizing influence. I don't think it's really for us to tell China how they should organize their entire society.
Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers made the comments on Bloomberg's Wall Street Week with David Westin. Catch the program Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television and also on your favorite podcast platforms.
Well, Nathan, in Washington this week, clues from the Fed are front and center again. The central bank issues minutes from its latest policy meeting just ahead of Thanksgiving, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has a preview.
Fed officials lifted the benchmark interest rate by another hefty 75 basis points at this month's policy session as they wage war on inflation. The minutes set for release Wednesday could spell out details of the deliberations and what lies ahead. On Wall Street, there's broad consensus the Fed will raise the benchmark rate to about 4.5% next month and then to around 5% early next year. There's also a full schedule of economic data this week, from manufacturing to new home sales and consumer sentiment, numbers that should point to lackluster economic activity. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. And as we head into the holiday, investors are asking whether or not the bear market is over. Well, Goldman Sachs says no. In fact, the firm's strategists say the bear market will likely last through next year. Goldman predicts the S&P 500 will end 2023 at 4,000 points. That's just 0.9% higher than Friday's close.
Well, S&P futures are lower this morning, Nathan. They're down about 18 points. Dow futures down 71 and NASDAQ futures down 67. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, 27 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash southbound Garden State Parkway after exit 136. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Buffalo area is digging out from a historic snowstorm. Western New York was clobbered by lake effect snow. This woman who lives in Buffalo says the snow is putting up a fight against every piece of equipment the city is throwing at it.
The snow is so heavy and so deep that even these bulldozers are barely making a dent in the snow removal process. So we see trucks going by full of snow, but they're not touching our snow yet.
Areas like Orchard Park got at least 80 inches of snow. We're learning more about the suspect in the deadly shooting at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. Anderson Lee Aldrich is in police custody. Last year, police were called to his mother's address on a report of a bomb and firearms threat. The weekend shooting left at least five people dead and more than two dozen others wounded. Colorado Springs Police Chief Adrian Vasquez says two club patrons subdued the gunman before more people could be killed.
I hate to even venture a guess at how many people could have been killed or injured beyond those already killed or injured. Truly heroes, those two.
Chief Vasquez says authorities are studying Aldridge's social media posts, trying to learn a motive for the mass shooting. Meanwhile, New York Governor Hochul is reacting to the deadly Colorado Springs shooting.
New York, this is personal. This is the home of the LGBTQ movement. We have many, many friends who are now just devastated and concerned for their own safety.
Governor Hochul says New York State Police will be increasing surveillance and protection for communities at risk of hate crimes. On top of the Colorado shooting, Hochul says two men were arrested over the weekend for threatening the Jewish community in New York City. The United Nations' latest climate summit in Egypt comes to a close after a marathon weekend of negotiations. There was one major breakthrough at COP27, an agreement by the world's developed nations to provide a fund for so-called loss and damage to the poor and vulnerable nations most impacted by climate change. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. .509 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stasher.
All right, good morning, Nathan. It's been such a surprisingly good football season in New York. Until yesterday, the Giants have been winning as underdogs. They lost as a favorite at MetLife. Detroit's Jamal Williams scored three straight touchdowns. The Lions went from down 6-3 to up 24-6. They beat the Giants 31-18. Quiet day for Saquon Barkley, only 22 rushing yards. And Daniel Jones, who had not been intercepted since week three, got picked off twice. Meanwhile, the three other teams in the NFC East all won. Philadelphia is now 9-1. Dallas won 40-3 at Minnesota. The Cowboys are, like the Giants, 7-3, and the two teams play Thursday in Dallas. Washington won as well. As for the Jets, with a win in New England, they'd be in first place this late in the season for the first time since 2010. Certainly looked like they were headed to overtime until the Jets' 10th punt of the day.
The snap, waist on, pressure-free punt, and it's a good one. Forcing Jones to backpedal, right side at the 16. Stabbed left, granted right, down the sideline, to the 40, to the 50, to the left, left to the 45, beats the punter to the 35-30. Marcus Jones down the middle to the 10, into the end zone.
Touchdown!
No!
Patriots radio the call. The game-winning 84-yard punt return by rookie Marcus Jones. First punt return for a touchdown in the NFL this season. Came with 5 seconds left. Pats won 10-3. They beat the Jets 14 straight times. Knicks lost in Phoenix, 116-95. They're 2-2 on the road trip that ends tonight. Nets back from their trip. Beat Memphis, 127-115. Kyrie Irving returned from his suspension. 2 o'clock today in Qatar. It's the U.S. versus Wales in the World Cup. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. S&P futures down 18 points. Dow futures down 71. NASDAQ futures down 68 points. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.83%. We kick off the trading week next with Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling amid concern that China may tighten COVID curbs after a string of reported deaths, with investors seeking shelter in the dollar. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 20 points. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures down 74. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 3.83%. And the yield on the 2-year, 4.53%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 37 cents at $79.71 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $12 at $17.57 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0240 against the dollar. British pound 1.1809 and the yen 141.67. And Bitcoin, it's down 1.2% at about $16,000. And we continue to watch shares of Walt Disney this morning, up about 8% in early trading after it brought back former leader Bob Iger as chief executive. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A 22-year-old gunman opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle inside a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs, killing 5 people and leaving 25 injured. Authorities say he was subdued by heroic patrons and arrested by police who arrived within minutes. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, at today's conclusion of the COP27 climate conference, said participants took an important step toward justice for the world's poorest nations that have suffered because of climate change impacts caused by other countries. In the NFL, the Giants lost to the Lions. How did I get in there? 31-18. The Patriots beat the Jets 10-3 on a last-second punt return. The Ravens and Commanders were also winners. NBA Kyrie Irving returned to the Nets as they beat the Grizzlies 127-115. Knicks lost and the Wizards and Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're pleased to kick off the trading week this morning with Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chair of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, I want to get your take on the broader market, but first, your reaction to a Disney surprise announcement that Bob Iger's coming back.
It was a surprise, but I guess we really shouldn't be all that surprised given the fact that while the former chairman was or present CEO was chairman and president, watched the stock go from almost $200 a share down to $91 a share. I think the board of directors said, let's go back to somebody that, that had taken the stock up to almost $200 a share. So we shouldn't be too surprised by the fact. It's I met Mr. Iger one day in the green room, very impressed. And I think the market's impressed. The fact that that Disney's up a little, 8% this morning is a little overdone, I suspect. But I think it's a good decision. I think it's a wise decision. I think it's a decision that's probably long overdue.
All right, let's turn to the broader market here. Obviously, we're getting a leg lower this morning on concerns around the COVID situation in China. There had been a lot of bullishness around Chinese stocks in recent weeks from many institutional investors. What's your view on China now?
My view on China has always been to be very reticent about being an investor in China. There's so many. There's other places to be invested in here in the United States, in Europe. Far better to be here than and in Europe than it is in China. You just can't trust the communists at any one time. But the fact that they have had a few more deaths in over the weekend due to COVID, I think is a little disconcerting, and it's probably going to be another crackdown. So just be very careful. It's not a place that I'm going to invest my own money. It's not a place that I'll have the University of Akron invest its money. It's a place that I think people should be aware of, but to basically be a shun of, avoid it if at all possible.
Does it have, though, Dennis, broader implications for the global economy to have this kind of retrenchment potentially coming back?
Well, of course. It would be illogical to think otherwise. Of course it will. But we need to see China do better. We need to see China get stop shutting down completely. We need to see China join the modern world and follow things that have gone here in the United States. So just be careful. It's just a place that I would avoid if at all possible.
Also want to get your reaction to a new note we got this morning from Goldman Sachs saying the bear market's likely to last into 2023. They're putting their target for the S&P pretty much where it is right now, around 4,000. I don't suppose you would disagree with that, given how bearish you've been on this market pretty much all year, right?
I will not disagree with them at all. I have been bearish since January 1st of this year. Continue to be bearish, even though I have been wrong now for the past 5 weeks, so let's be blunt about that. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I am surprised by the strength that we've seen. But I think what we should understand is that the volume has come in on the downside. The volume seems to wane on the upside. Good bull markets go up on good volume and go down on bad volume, and we're seeing the absolute opposite of that. So I think technically you have to be reticent about being a buyer, be very careful. And as I said, I've been bearish since January 1st of this year. That's been the right place to be. I've been wrong for the past 5 weeks, however, and let's be blunt about that.
Are you changing your view at all about where the path could be for the Fed going forward, given the inflation data we've seen in recent weeks and the continued strength of the labor market?
No, I think the Fed has made its path abundantly clear. When they meet in 2 weeks, there's no question they're going to raise the overnight Fed funds rate by at least 50 basis points. I've said that for a long period of time, and I continue to hold to that. Yes, there has been a moderation in inflation, and no question we've had a rather material amount of weakness in the energy market, which some of the Fed officials will point to. But on balance, we still have to remember the fact that the Fed has increased its balance sheet over the course of the past decade, taking its assets from $900 billion to $9 trillion. That's inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon with a 2 to 3 year lag. So I think we're going to continue to see inflationary pressures be abundant. And I think the Fed has to remain consistent with its policies of the past. So I think they raised the overnight Fed funds rate 50 basis points at the December meeting and probably 25 to 50 basis points at the first meeting after the turn of the year. So no, I'm not changing my opinion on Fed policy at all.
All right. Dennis Gartman, as always, good to get your thoughts. And I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving coming up here. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Focus this morning on COVID concerns in China. It's sending the broader market lower with S&P futures right now down 21 points. Dow futures down 89. NASDAQ futures are lower by 85 points. 10-year Treasuries down 1/32nd, the yield 3.83%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.53%. Crude's moving lower this morning. NYMEX crude down 0.5% at $79.65 a barrel. And checking Disney shares in the pre-market on word Bob Iger's coming back. They are higher by 8% this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, got a freeze warning till 10 a.m. We'll get up to the low 40s today with sunshine and a breeze. Upper 40s tomorrow, low 50s, sunshine by Wednesday. Right now, bundle up, 27 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30 to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston, Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960 to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/managers.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with a big shakeup at Disney. Bob Chapek is out as CEO, and longtime company leader Bob Iger is taking over. Bloomberg's Alex Webb says Iger's goal will be supercharging the streaming service Disney+.
Disney made a massive pivot over the past 2 years under pressure from activist investors to make themselves more like Netflix and actually invest in streaming content, Disney+. And they did that. Netflix then, of course, has not had a brilliant year. So Disney has fallen sort of not quite as much, but almost in lockstep with that. So this is an effort to fix some of that.
And Bloomberg's Alex Webb says a primary reason for Chapek's dismissal was Disney's struggling share price. And right now, Disney shares are up more than 8%.
And Alex Webb mentioned activist investors at Disney, Karen. Well, the Wall Street Journal's reporting one of them, Nelson Peltz, is opposing Iger's return. His firm, Trian Fund Management, acquired a stake in Disney worth more than $800 million.
Well, another corporate news, Nathan. More Twitter turmoil. The company's head of operations in France has quit, and more layoffs could come this week. CEO Elon Musk also welcomed former President Donald Trump and Ye, the artist formerly known as Kanye West, back to the platform. Musk used a Twitter poll to determine Trump's reinstatement, which California Representative Adam Schiff said was irresponsible.
It contradicts what Elon Musk said, that he was going to establish a council to evaluate this, and further contradicts Musk and his claimed concern about bots on his own platform to subject the decision to a poll in a platform that could be easily abused.
Representative Adam Schiff made the comments on ABC News' This Week, heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
To markets now, Karen, futures are falling on concern China might tighten COVID curbs after a string of deaths. S&P futures are down about 0.6%. Investors will also digest some economic news this week when the Fed issues minutes from its latest policy meeting.
Well, in geopolitics, Nathan, defense chiefs from the U.S. and China will likely meet for their first talks in months. It could be a sign that tensions are easing. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers is warning U.S. officials to focus more on domestic growth and not try to change Chinese policy.
I don't think it's really for us to tell China how they should organize their entire society. I think it's for us to stand up for some of our fundamental interests.
That's former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, 27 degrees in Central Park. Still got that crash on the southbound Garden State Parkway. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Quick action is being credited for reducing the number of victims in the mass shooting at a gay bar in Colorado Springs over the weekend. The suspect, Anderson Aldrich, was tackled to the ground by people inside Club Q before police arrived. Colorado Springs Police Chief Adrian Vasquez.
I think had somebody not been there to detain him, he would have continued firing that weapon.
Chief Vasquez says five were killed and dozens were hurt. Meanwhile, New York Governor Kathy Hochul is reacting to the deadly nightclub shooting. Hochul says this is personal, as New York is the home of the LGBTQ movement.
I've asked the state police superintendent, Steve Nigrelli, who's with me here today, to make sure that we have enhanced protections, that we're continuing to do our monitoring of social media sites to be able to identify threats.
Hochul says here in New York City, two men were arrested over the weekend for threatening the Jewish community. The FBI has been working with the Idaho State Police, combing through the town of Moscow and surrounding areas, trying to gather evidence in the quadruple homicide of four University of Idaho students. On November 13th, bodies of the three young women and one young man were found in their off-campus house, stabbed to death. Authorities are still looking for a suspect. Parts of New York State start the big dig out after potentially historic snowfall. Lake effect snow clobbered western New York for days. This woman lives in Buffalo.
It's very slow moving. It's heavy. It sticks to everything. And it's a very slow moving, exhausting process.
Some areas got 80 to 85 inches of snow in the Buffalo area. NASA says today its Orion moon ship will go into what's called a distant retrograde orbit, as close as 60 miles and as far away as 40,000 beyond the moon to test the spacecraft's capabilities. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. There's never been a finish to an NFL game like Jets, Patriots, and Foxborough. There had only been two since the 1970 merger, where the first touchdown of the game came in the final minute. But this game-winning touchdown was an 84-yard punt return with 5 seconds left. The first punt return for a TD in the NFL this season. It was by Pats rookie Marcus Jones, and it gave New England a 10-3 win, their 14th win in a row over the Jets. His coach is Robert Saleh.
It's a crappy way to lose. Feel like you're exchanging blows from a defensive standpoint on both sides of the ball, from both teams. And if somebody could just make a play and get it to overtime, they made a play in the punt, in the kicking game.
When asked about the performance of his offense, Saleh used an expletive. Zach Wilson, who had a 3-interception day against the Pats 2 weeks ago, was only 9 of 22. So in the AFC East, Miami and Buffalo are 7-3. The Jets and Patriots are 6-4. In the NFC East, Philadelphia pulled out a 1-point win to go to 9-1. Dallas won 40-3, cooling off red hot Minnesota. So the Cowboys are 7-3, tied with the Giants. The two teams face off Thursday in Dallas. Worst effort of the season for the Giants. They lost at home to Detroit 31-18. The Lions' Jamal Williams scored 3 straight touchdowns. Daniel Jones had a TD run and pass, but was also intercepted twice. Last night, late TD by Kansas City. Travis Kelce's third of the game, and the Chiefs topped the Chargers 30-27. Knicks lost in Phoenix 116-95. Nets beat Memphis at Barclays 127-115. Ben Simmons' best game as a Net, and Kyrie Irving returned from his suspension. The U.S. takes on Wales today at the World Cup. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
Pilots with JetBlue, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, are calling for a new contract as negotiations with the New York-based airline continue through next month. The union says representatives met with JetBlue management last week in an effort to reach a short-term contract extension, but no agreement was reached. A New Jersey-based real estate investment firm, Bullish on Connecticut, has paid $79.25 million for a sprawling industrial complex in Bristol. Hartford Business Journal reports the 1.2 million square foot Bristol Logistics Center sold in October. It's likely to be one of the largest Greater Hartford commercial real estate deals of the year. And the New Jersey Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology has got plans to launch a $2.5 million program to support clean tech startups. The program provides grants of up to $250,000 each to help startups develop their technologies, with costs like testing and travel. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thanks, Scott. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the surprise return of Bob Iger as Disney's CEO.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that it looks like the firings at Twitter are not done yet.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on comments by the head of the UK's biggest business lobby group saying the government needs to focus on growth.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Target, Amazon, and Kohl's warning that customers are tightening their belts heading to the holidays.
I'm Scott Carr on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting on the city's new tech and reimagining its downtown lakefront.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. UK Chancellor Jeremy Hunt's first budget had to pass one test above all. It had to convince investors that the Tories' new leaders know what they're doing. Hunt took no chances. He announced significant tax increases and spending cuts that, in due course, should be enough to get public borrowing back under control. The bad news is that the forecast attached to the new measures is dire. Britain's independent fiscal watchdog predicts a recession lasting more than a year. Household disposable income, adjusted for inflation, will stay below pre-pandemic levels through 2027. Give Hunt credit for facing reality, but there's no disguising the gravity of this setback. To salvage its economy, the UK must do more to promote skills, investment, and trade. Avoiding another fiscal meltdown is only a start. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures are down 21 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures are lower by 87 points. 10-year Treasury little changed. 3.82% is the 10-year yield. Disney shares up 8% with the new boss, literally. Same as the old boss at Disney. Bloomberg Quick Takes. Alex Webb joins us next on that. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are falling along with U.S. stock index futures amid concern that China may tighten COVID curbs after a string of reported deaths, with investors seeking shelter in the dollar. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 21 points, Dow futures down 88, NASDAQ futures down 86, and the DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.82%, yield on the 2-year, 4.53%. NYMEX grew. Oil is down about 0.5% or 38 cents at $79.70 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $11.70 at $17.5730 an ounce. The euro 1.0237 against the dollar. British pound 1.1813 and the yen 141.72. And Bitcoin is down 1% at about $16,100. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Police are searching for a motive after a 22-year-old man opened fire in a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs over the weekend. Five people were killed and 25 people were injured in the shooting. Local officials say the heroic actions of a few patrons who subdued the gunman saved lives. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says engineers are working around the clock to bring energy facilities back online after heavy damage the country's energy infrastructure suffered. In the NFL, the Giants lost. Patriots beat the Jets 10-3 on a last-second punt return. The Ravens and Commanders were also winners. In the NBA, Kyrie Irving returned to the Nets as they beat the Grizzlies 127-115. The Knicks lost. The Wizards and Warriors won. In soccer, the U.S. plays Wales in the World Cup today. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on the big corporate story that broke overnight, the change of leadership coming to Walt Disney. Bob Iger is returning as CEO, ending a rocky tenure for Iger's handpicked successor, Bob Chapek. Let's bring in Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb for more on this developing news. And I guess, Alex, there's a little bigger sign that a corporate board has lost confidence in its CEO than to bring the old guy back.
For sure. And as recently as this summer, Bob Chapek was being awarded a new multi-year contract. So things have clearly not been going brilliantly. It's been an interesting development over the past few years because, you know, we go back to pre-pandemic, Disney was trading a significant discount to Netflix. Netflix was trading around 50 times forward earnings. Disney was in the region of 25 times forward earnings. The activist investor came in, said, you guys need to be more like Netflix, scrap the dividend, invest money, invest the capital in content for your streaming service, Disney Plus. Disney did this. And needless to say, the valuation improved significantly. It actually overtook Netflix as a multiple of forward earnings because it started to be valued as a growth stock. Now, we've seen over the past few months, growth stocks, as interest rates have increased, have been punished. So now the question is, does Disney pivot again? It has reintroduced the dividend already. Does it need to start diverting capital away from investing in new content and returning more money to shareholders in these new market conditions?
Well, I mean, how much of a pivot can we expect from someone like Bob Iger, who, as you know, throughout his tenure was the content guy? I mean, he was behind all the major acquisitions that Disney's done over the last several years.
Right, but there was very clear sort of reason for those acquisitions, namely franchises. And the thing is with a franchise is that you hope that there are more predictable returns. You know what the audience is like for a Star Wars movie. You know what the audience is like for a Marvel movie. So therefore, you are banking on, you know, recurring revenue in the medium to long term from those franchises. Now, the thing is with Disney Plus is that, yes, there is recurring revenue, but audience can churn out quite quickly. And so, you know, if they see they don't have enough content they like, they can go, actually, we're just going to scrap our subscription. So there's a slightly different calculation from the franchise model pioneered or certainly pursued by Iger.
Is there any particular straw to point at that broke the back of the board when it came to Bob Chapek?
It's hard to tell. There's a lot of speculation out there, perhaps to do with some of the internal politics stuff. The fact that, you know, they have huge businesses in Florida with theme parks. There was, it was not immediately clear that as Ron DeSantis, you know, introduced rules that seemed, for example, detrimental to the LGBTQ plus community, that that Chapek was not as outspoken against that as would be, for instance, Bob Iger. That's something that didn't go down terribly well with the rank and file. So you could imagine the board might sit there and go, well, if he's lost the investor community and he's lost the employees, you know, maybe we need to make a change. One assumes, and this is all just, you know, speculation at this stage, that these were the factors that might have contributed to it.
In about our last minute here, Alex, how much hurdle could activist investors pose for Bob Iger? There's a report in the Wall Street Journal this morning that Nelson Peltz opposed him coming back as CEO.
Bob Iger is someone who has got a track record of getting investors on side. You know, there were big doubts about those deals he made over the years, and yet they managed to pay off. You know, that's clearly going to be a challenge dealing with that investor community, but he has the experience of having done it before, and that's the gamble right now that the board is making.
And Bob Iger is going to be there for 2 years. Is it going to be like a caretaker situation, or could he make some real changes just quickly?
I mean, presumably he's going to try to right the ship if Disney thinks that it's problematic, but it's hard to imagine that he's going to be making big long-term decisions, you know, given that it is a relatively short period.
All right. As always, Alex, good to get you on with us. I have Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb with us this morning as we watch Disney shares in the pre-market. Investors seem to like Bob Iger's return, Karen. They are up nearly 8%.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
T-Mobile will have to abolish its nationwide program to collect complaints about work from its customer service reps. The National Labor Relations Board ruled the T-Voice program qualifies as a labor organization. Peloton, Lululemon, which owns the Mirror Fitness device, and Nordic track maker iFit persuaded the U.S. International Trade Commission to review part of a judge's findings in a patent dispute with Dish Network. And a class action suit claims Old Dominion Freight Line cost its workers $3 million in retirement savings by filling their 401k plan with expensive investments.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Joan, thank you. Now another legal story. We're watching the epic unraveling of cryptocurrency exchange FTX has put it in what's called a free fall bankruptcy. That bankruptcy has so far revealed a chaotically run web of intertwined companies, $8 billion in liabilities it could not pay, the apparent misuse of customer funds, billion-dollar loans to its founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, and his top executives, and hundreds of millions of dollars of unauthorized transfers on the day the company filed for bankruptcy. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to bankruptcy attorney Jonathan Sheenson, a partner at Greenberg Glucksker.
John Ray, who was appointed to oversee FTX as its CEO during the bankruptcy proceedings, has worked on major bankruptcy cases, including Enron, and he said, "Never in my career have I seen such a complete failure of corporate controls and such a complete absence of trustworthy financial information as occurred here." What does that tell you?
It sounds unbelievably dire for the many customers and users out there. You know, none of the financial information is reliable. It's not even clear which of the 100-plus entities are responsible for what and who owns what assets, if any. And, you know, the fact that John Ray was involved with Enron and he's making this type of statement, it's pretty alarming.
Ray said that a disparate group of supervisors approved disbursements by responding with personalized emojis, and that corporate funds were used to purchase homes and items for advisors and employees. Is that mismanagement or is that something beyond mismanagement? Is that fraud?
Oh, it's mismanagement. It is a clear breach of their fiduciary obligations and duties to the company. And it's hard to say it was unknowing, despite the inexperience of these individuals. I mean, they were heading up a multi-billion dollar enterprise and certainly had the wherewithal to have proper advisors in place. I assume they did. And this seems to me to be blatant fraud and misconduct, and it's actionable.
And how likely is it that customers will get any of their money back?
I think there is hope that customers will get some money back. It will be not for quite some time, and customers will be likely to get pennies on the dollar, and maybe pennies is a little too bleak, but customers will not get most of their deposits and assets back from this exchange. And the question really is, how successful Mr. Ray and the other newly appointed directors are in terms of bringing value and asset transfers back into the bankruptcy estate to enhance recoveries for customers and creditors.
And that's Jonathan Sheenson, a partner at Greenberg Glucksker, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.